take your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 10. And we're going to, I'd like to read verses 1 through 14 this morning. Joshua 10, verses 1 through 14. This is the word of the Lord. Now it came about when Adonizedek, the king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had captured Ai and had utterly destroyed it, just as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and that the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were within the land, that he feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent word to Hoham, king of Hebron, and Piram, king of Jarmuth, and to Japhia, the king of Lachish, and to Debir, the king of Eglon, saying, "Come up to me and help me, and let us attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the sons of Israel." So the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up. And they all with their armies and camped by Gibeon and fought against it. Then the men of Gibeon sent word to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal, saying, "Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that live in the hill country have assembled against us." So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the valiant warriors. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you." So Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night long from Gilgal. And the Lord confounded them before Israel. And he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and pursued them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon and struck them as far as Azekah and Makeda. As they fled from before Israel while they were at the descent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. And there were more that died from the hailstones than those whom the sons of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. There was no day like this before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, your Bible is your word. Your word is settled in heaven. It's true. And you have promised, as rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, causing it to bear and sprout, producing seed for the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return void, without accomplishing all that I send it forth to accomplish, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray you would give your word success today. We pray that you would speak to each of our hearts here today, every one of us. Lord, open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things out of your book, the Bible. and not only see them, Lord, but believe them. And not only believe them, but then go from this place and live them out. Because that's what it's about, Lord. It's not about just being able to know Scripture or quote Scripture. It's about living out the truth of the Word of God. And again, we know we can't do this without you, God. So, Holy Spirit, speak to us, fill us, and Lord, may you be praised and glorified here today. We ask this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. 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 During World War II, in the battle for North Africa, General George S. Patton faced off with the German general Erich Rommel. In that battle, Patton's tanks and troops engaged in a successful counterattack of the German forces under the leadership of Rommel. Rommel was called the Desert Fox because he was so crafty in his tactics, in his strategy. Well, it's recorded that in the heat of that battle, General Patton said these words, "I read your book, Rommel. I read your book." And he had. Rommel had written a book called Infantry Attacks. And in that book, the Desert Fox had detailed all his military strategy. And with that knowledge, Patton was able to soundly defeat him in battle. We too have an enemy. I talked about this 2 weeks ago, you remember? We have an enemy, his name's Satan. And you know, folks, what we need to be able to do is say, "I read this book. I read this book. We know how you act. We know your strategies." And when we do, through Christ, we're able to win the victory. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we have come to chapter 10 in our study of the book of Joshua. And today we're going to cover three chapters. It's going to be a long sermon. No, I promise it won't. Well, I don't promise, but it won't be too long. But you remember in our study, this book details the children of Israel coming out of the wilderness, crossing over the Jordan River, and they come into the promised land. You remember God had said, "This is my land." In fact, God owns everything in heaven and on earth. It's all his, right? And he said, "I own this land, but I'm going to give it to you," he said to the children of Israel. And so now they're in the land, but this is enemy territory. And they have to face the enemy. And they come in. And we said that this book typifies not heaven. You know, some people talk about Canaan and they say, "Oh, it's heaven." No, it's not heaven because there's battles in the land, right? When we get to heaven, battle's over. Amen? I'm going to tell you, the battle's over when we get to heaven. This does not typify heaven. It typifies the Spirit-filled Christian life. The Spirit-filled life. Because the Spirit... Canaan, was it a good land? Oh, it was a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. It was a good land. And I'll tell you what, the Christian life, blessed life. I wouldn't trade my Christian life for anything. The blessings that God gives the Christian... I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't trade it for anything. For the last 50 years, God has blessed my life. The spiritual life is a life of blessing, but it is a life of battle. It is a life of battle. You know, if you want a playground, you go to the world. You want a battleground, come to Christ. Because it is a battleground. It is a life of great blessing, but it is a life of great battle. And that's what we see as they come into Canaan. They faced the enemy. And they faced the enemy at Jericho. And you know what God did? God knocked down the walls and gave them the victory. Then they faced the enemy at Ai. And after an initial defeat because of sin in the camp, they were able to overcome. And now in chapter 10, again, we're going to see them facing the enemy again. And if you read in the book of Joshua 10, 11, and 12, what you see is the children of Israel fighting battle after battle after battle after battle. And winning battle after battle after battle after battle. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but every one of us is going to face battles. And I want to win. Anybody here want to lose the battle? Don't you put up your hand. No, we want to win the battle, right? So there's some battle lessons that I want to share with you this morning. That if we know these and remember these battle lessons, it'll help us to secure the victory in our Christian lives. Okay? That's what we're going to do today. Battle lessons. Battle lesson number one. We need to remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. Come on, say amen. Battle belongs to the Lord. And that's what we see. Here in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 10, we have the Lord gathers the enemy. Now it says, when the enemies heard about Joshua and the people of God and the victories at Jericho and Ai, and when they heard Gibeon had made peace with Israel, they band together to fight Gibeon. They knew Gibeon was a royal city. It was a powerful city with powerful warriors, and they needed that city. They wanted to retake that city. If they had to go up and fight against it, they were going to retake it. So we have here five kings, Adonai Zedek. His name means Lord of Righteousness. You know, the enemy can take all kinds of names, can't they? The Lord of Righteousness, but he was an enemy of the people of God. He gathers these four other kings, and five of these kings come together. They come together to fight and move on Gibeon. But you know what I see behind this? Don't you see the sovereignty of God? See, they thought, we're going to gather together and we're going to fight against the people of God. You know what? God was gathering them together. You know, God is sovereign. Amen? He's established his throne in the heavens. His sovereignty rules over all. Do you see him working in the world today? I'll tell you, there's a battle going on right over in Israel right now. There's a battle going on. God's preparing the world. God's sovereign over these things. You know what God was doing? He was gathering these five city-states together to come up to fight against Gibeon, fight against Joshua, so Joshua would not have to go and fight against each one of these city-states one at a time. He gathered them all together so he could destroy them one time. That's the sovereignty of God. That's what he did. The Lord gathered them together. Instead of defeating five city-states one at a time, he gathers them all together, defeat them one time. Praise God. Now, it's interesting what the people of Gibeon do. Warren Wiersbe points out that although the people of Gibeon were pagans, they are a good example of what a Christian should do when the enemy comes to attack. Look at verse 6. What did they do? They sent word to Joshua. They sent word to Joshua. Now, what's the name Joshua mean? What's the New Testament equivalent? Come on, somebody tell me. Jesus! Joshua means Jehovah saves. Jesus means Jehovah saves. Jesus is the New Testament equivalent of Joshua. And these people, when the enemy attacked, they sent for Joshua. And it's a good example to us. When we face the enemy, when we go out of this place and face the battles, I'll tell you what, Good thing to do, send for Jesus. Send word to Jesus. Why? Let me tell you, the battle belongs to the Lord. By the way, just turn to your neighbor and tell him that. The battle belongs to the Lord. Tell him. Come on. The battle belongs to the Lord. And look what the Lord does in verse 8. The Lord gives the encouragement. He first gives a command. The Lord said to Joshua, don't fear them. Do not fear them. This is the first time Joshua would face several allied kings. This is the first time he faced a united enemy force. Do not fear them. That's, by the way, that's not a suggestion. What is that? Command. Somebody needs to hear that today. You're facing something that's a big battle, a big trial, and you need to hear that. This is God talking to you. Do not fear. Don't fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Don't fear. He tells them, don't fear. And then he says, he gives them a promise. Do you see the promise there? For I have given them into your hands. Not one of them will stand before you. Note the verb. You know what? Aren't you glad we have our Bibles? Because we believe in the verbal inspiration of Scripture. That the very words in the original were the words of God. And even the tenses of the verbs are ordained by God. So when he tells them this, he doesn't say, I give you the enemy. Or I will give you the enemy. What does he say? I have given you the enemy. It's a done deal. It's done. When we face the enemies of our faith, it's a done deal. God has given them into our hands. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. It's his battle. Now look what God does in verses 10 and 11. The Lord destroys the enemies. See verse 10? It says he confounded them. If you have the ESV, it says he threw them into a great panic. Then it says, and he slew them with a great slaughter. And he pursued them. And he struck them. You know, the subject of all those verbs is who? God. God did this. God confounded them. God pursued them. God slew them. God struck them. And look at verse 11. Oh my. The Lord threw large stones, hailstones, down. Now, how large were they? I don't know, but I know Brother Mike, I don't know if Mike's here, but in Revelation 16, in the tribulation period, there's going to be hailstones. How large? 100 pounds. Can you imagine a 100-pound hailstone? God threw large stones, large hailstones. And note this, they were discriminating hailstones. What do you mean by that, Pastor? They killed the enemy, they didn't kill the people of God. They were discriminating. God did this. God did this. And more people died from the hailstones than from the swords of the people of God. God was fighting for Israel. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. Remember that. It's God's battle. Now, what does that say to us? Listen, when you face the enemies, when we face the spiritual enemies, what are our spiritual enemies? The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's our spiritual enemies. When we face our spiritual enemies, you know what we need to do? We need to send word to Jesus. We need to call for his help. Jesus, we need you. The enemy's come. We need to call for Jesus. We need to trust in him. We need not fear. We need to face the battles of life and all that we encounter, all the battles we encounter, we need to call for Jesus and remember He will help us, because the battle belongs to the Lord. That's what we got to remember. We got to remember, we try to fight on our own, we're dead. We try to fight these battles, we're going to lose every time. But we call on the name of the Lord, and He comes, and He helps us. He helps us. Remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. Number two, another battle lesson. Remember that the battle involves the Lord's people. I almost put this number two. First one, battle belongs to the Lord, and then I was going to put the battle belongs to the Lord's people. But I thought that might mix us up. Who does it belong to? Does it belong to the Lord, or does it belong to us? Yes. We're involved. We're involved in the battle. Although the Lord gives the victory, that doesn't mean that we're excluded from the fight. When you, listen, when you accept Jesus, you join the army. Did you know you're in the army? You are. Do you know in the New Testament, one of the most prominent pictures of the Christian life is what? Soldier. It's a soldier. When you come to Christ, you are in the army. And now if you look at chapter and chapter 11, there are many battles, and the people of God, they're fighting. They're fighting the battles. Look at verse 7 here. It says that Joshua went up. He received the word from the Gibeonites. He went up to war. He went up to fight. Look at verse 9 in chapter 10. Verse 9. It states that they marched all night long. There was effort here. I mean, Gilgal up to Gibeon is 25 miles. Uphill. And those of you that were in the army, I remember when I was in the army, we had our 20-mile hike, full pack. You remember that? Who's been in the army? Who remember? You remember that? Our 20-mile hike. And I'll tell you, that took effort. And this was uphill. There was effort that had to be expended here. And they fought the enemy. They took them by surprise. They marched all night long and came upon them on surprise, and they were able to overcome them. So just because we say the battle belongs to the Lord, it doesn't mean that we just sit back and say, okay, Lord, fight my battles. That's not what it means. We have a part to play in overcoming the enemy and securing the victory. Well, what's our part? Well, we have to act in faith. We have to act in faith and send out an SOS. SOS, yeah, S. Stand on the promises. Verse 8. Stand on the promises. God had promised Joshua that every place on which his sole of his foot treads, I have given it to you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land. Now in verse 8 in chapter 10, he reissues the promise. I've given them into your hands. You know what faith is? Faith is taking God at his word. Listen, biblical faith is not blind faith. It's not just believing stuff that people know isn't true. Biblical faith is taking God at His word. When He says something, we believe it. That's faith. That is faith. Faith is standing on the promises of God. You know, that one saying, as someone said, that many saints are sitting on the premises, but they're not standing on the promises. We need to stand on God's promises. Evangelist D.L. Moody said, God never made a promise that's too good to be true. All of his promises are true. And we can stand on his promises. What is our part in securing the victory? We need to know God's promises. We need to claim God's promises. We need to take them to the bank and cash them in and live and walk in faith and war in faith, standing on the promises of God. That's us. You know, when the enemy comes, we need to send up an SOS. We need to stand on the promises. Oh, we need to obey his commands. We need to obey his commands. You remember what he said back in chapter 1 in verse 8. He said, the words of this book shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest be careful to observe all that is written therein. For then, listen, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. This book, know it, but be careful to obey it. This is a key ingredient of victory. We've got to obey the Lord. We've got to obey his commands. You see, Joshua and his troops marched all night long to fight the enemy as God commanded. But God fought for Israel, but the people had to fight. Faith is always active. Listen to me, right? It's just not a thing we believe here. It's active. We got to do it. I can say all day long or all week long, I have faith. But if I don't live it, it's not biblical faith. Come on, say amen. Amen. It's true. We have got to obey God's commands. We've got to be willing to do what God asks us to do. If we're going to secure the victory, which is ours in Christ, we have to be obedient. S, stand on the promises. O, obey his commands. And S, speak to the Lord and ask his help. Look at verses 12 through 14. Look what it says there. Verse 12, and Joshua spoke to the Lord. What is that? I heard it. Someone. Prayer. He prayed. He prayed. You know, Psalm 18:4, you know what it says? I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I'm going to call on God. I'm going to pray. And oh my, look what he prayed. I want you to note three things really about what he prayed here. First of all, what he asked the Lord to do. Do you see it there? What he asked, he said, O sun, stand still at Gibeon. O moon in the valley of Ajalon. Whoa, what a prayer. Note, he asked it, do you see it there? In the sight of Israel. You see it says there? And he said it in the sight of Israel, verse 12. You know, I think if I'd have prayed this prayer, I think I'd have prayed it in private. Just in case. Just in case God didn't want to do that. I might have just prayed it in private. Lord, do you want to stop the sun? And He got in front of the whole group and said, Lord, stop the sun. Stop the moon. He prayed in the sight of all Israel. And note what the Lord did. Verse 13, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and it did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Really? That's amazing. But you know what's more amazing? The interpretations you find in commentaries. Let me read you a couple. Listen to this. Some say, oh, this is just poetic language. Really, all that the Lord did was to help his people accomplish what would normally take place in 2 days in 1 day. So it just seemed like the day was prolonged. When Joshua asked that the sun stand still, the word in the Hebrew, stand still, can mean to be silent. And what he was really asking was for the sun to cease shining in its brightness. Joshua and his men had marched all night long, and he was not asking for more sun, but less sun. The heat of the sun was too much for his tired men. So in answer to his request, God sent a hailstorm, and the clouds covered the sky and blocked out the sun. What do you think? What's the others say? It was a miracle of refraction. The sun and the earth did not stand still, but the sun's rays were refracted or bent around the earth so that the day was prolonged. What does the scripture say? The sun stood still. The moon stood still. Now, how'd that happen? Did the earth stop rotating? Maybe, yeah. Did the moon stop going around the earth? Yeah, could be. God does miracles. We have a miracle-working God. And somebody says, well, I'm scientific. Explain that to me. Well, I can't explain it. Well, yes, I can. God made the heavens and the earth. He made all the laws of nature. And if he wants to interrupt one of those laws and do a miracle, he can do it. And if you have problems with that, your problems is not with miracles. Your problem is you have too small of a God. The God of the Bible can do whatever he wills. He is all powerful. He's the almighty God. Lord God, thou hast created the heavens and the earth by thy great power, by thine outstretched arm. Nothing's too difficult for you. If anyone here has a real problem, again, with that, you got to go back and look at God. We've got a great God, folks. We've got a God that can do all things according to his will. There is no enemy too powerful. There's no circumstance too difficult. There's no opposition too strong. There's no sin too stubborn for our God to defeat and overcome. But our part is to act in faith and send up an SOS. Our part is to stand on his promises. Our part is to obey his commands. Our part is to speak to him in prayer. This was a prayer answer. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. That's our part. You see, the battle belongs to the Lord. But the battle involves us. Third battle lesson. I want you to remember that the battle is not over until it's over. Battle's not over until it's over. The battle plan. Jacob, can we have up here the battle plan? Here's a little picture of Canaan. And the battle plan was this. Joshua's battle plan, whether he received it from the Lord or, and I probably think he did. It's not recorded. But they came in and they made a sweep through the middle. The plan was to divide and conquer. They swept through the middle. Then they turned south and defeated the enemies in the south. Then they turned north and defeated the enemies up north. In the Bible, in chapter 10, verses 29 through 43, that details the southern campaign. In chapter 11, verses 1 through 15, that describes the northern campaign. But the plan was divide and conquer. Now, we're not going to read all of that, but I do want to point out, if you read that, you're going to find out that it was God that was giving them the victory over and over. Do look at verse 42 of chapter 10. 42. It says, Joshua captured all these kings and their lands at one time because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. God was giving them these victories. He was helping them. He was giving them they were fighting, but he was giving them the victories. Now look at chapter 11, verse 18, at the duration of the battle. I think this is important. It says in chapter 11, verse 18, Joshua waged war a long time with these kings. It was approximately, folks, 7 years. 7 years of continual warfare. And that, I'll tell you what, if you are out on the front lines for that long, you get mighty weary. You are fighting, I'll tell you what, for that long. 7 years. He waged war a long time. And I'm sure, I'll bet you these guys were just, they were fatigued. They're battle fatigue. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like that? I'll tell you, I have to say, sometimes I get tired. You know, you just get done with one battle and the next one comes, doesn't it? I mean, are you here with me? Are you with me? I mean, it just seems like sometimes we get tired. I get tired. I get tired in the fight. But that's when, again, we need to send up the SOS and we need to pray. And we need to say, Lord, even young men grow weary and faint. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary, walk and not faint. If you're tired, exchange your weakness for his strength. That's why we need to stay close to the Lord. That's why we need every day to get new manna. Yesterday, manna is not good now. I need new manna. I need new strength. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're tired in the battle. The Lord wants to renew your strength even today. We need him. We need him. The duration, it's a long time. It's a long battle. This is not, I'll tell you what, the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. Amen? It is. The duration of the battle. And then look at verse 23, the rest from the battle. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Thus the land had rest from war. So there were no more battles to be fought, and everyone lived happily ever after. No. That's only in fairy tales. That's only in fairy tales. Because if you read the rest of Joshua, there's still a lot of battles. He divides the land and there's pockets of enemy in the land. And he says, go fight. So what does it mean here when it says there was rest from war? What I think it means, I think he is saying that the war has been won. There's still battles. But all the big guys, all the big shots, all the big kings, they've been vanquished, and now the war's won. Now we just have to go in and mop up the enemy and the enemy in our land. But the war's already been won. The continuation of the battle. The continuation of the battle. The battle goes on. The war was won, but the battle goes on. Now, how does this apply to us today? When our Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, the war was won. The war is won. The war is won. Victory is secure. Oh, I love that. I do. You see, at the cross, our enemy, sin, was defeated. Jesus took all the wrath of God upon himself and paid for our sins. And he said what? It is finished. It's finished. He did all the work. He did all the work. And then he rested. And you know what we're called to do? We're called to enter his rest. Now, note this, and I want you to read this when you go home today. We're not going to read it now, but Hebrews chapter 4 gives a picture of this. And it says, you know what? God made the heavens and the earth for, in what? How many days? 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. And then it goes down to talk about Jesus' work. That he was on the cross for 6 hours, suffering. And he died for our sins. And as God's work was done in 6 days, the work for salvation was done. And now we're called, you know what we're called to do? Enter his rest. And when a person, by faith, receives Christ, understands we are sinners headed for hell. Every one of us. We're at that place. We'd all been snake bitten. And we were dying in sins. But when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe he died for our sins. We repent, we turn from them, and put our faith in Christ. We enter his rest. Oh, how many works do I have to do now to be saved? None. Why? Because he did it all. He did the work. As God did all the work in creation and rested, Jesus did all the work in salvation and rested. He says, come into my rest. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your soul. Rest, R-E-S-T, really enjoying salvation today. Enter his rest. Have you entered his rest? I'm talking, have you ever received Christ into your heart and entered into the rest of salvation? If you haven't, believe on the Lord today. I'll tell you, Jesus did all the work. We get to enjoy salvation through faith. Enter today. And I want to talk to Christians. Have you entered his rest? Are you still trying to work for salvation? Are you still trying to gain God's approval by things you do? Enter his rest. It's finished. The war's won, but there's still battles. It's not over until it's over. What do we mean by that? I'll tell you what, when we go to be with the Lord, when we die, the battle's over. Right? The battle's over. Or if Jesus would come today, last sign was our parking lot. If Jesus would come today, battle's over. When Jesus comes back to earth, that's when they're going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hook, and they will learn war no more. The battle's over. But until that time, it's not over until it's over. That's a battle lesson. We should expect we're in the battle. It's not over until it's over. And then real quickly, number four, battle lesson. Remember that the battle won should be remembered. The battle won should be remembered. And if you look at chapter 12, it's a catalog of victories that the Lord gave them. God had Joshua write these down to be a permanent reminder of the victories that God had given them. 33 powerful kings, two from the East Bank, 31 from the West Bank. This was to be a constant reminder that if God be for us, who can be against us? This was to be a constant reminder, a written down reminder, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is an encouragement. I'm going to encourage you to do something. I'm going to encourage you to go home and take some time and think back over your Christian life and write down the victories that God has given you. Prayer answers. Times when you were battling with some sin in your life and God gave you the victory. Write it down. Times when you were under trial and you felt like you were going under and God came and rescued you and saved you. Put it down. Now, some call that a journal. And I know women are more journalers. Journalers? Do journaling more than men do. Men, write them down. A prayer journal. Of answers to prayer. Because look back at your life, because he's done great things if you're a Christian in your life. He's done great things. You know, God moved me a couple months back to start doing that. And every week I take at least about an hour and I'm typing out the victories that God has given me in life. Times when God miraculously provided for me in life. Times where I have very specifically heard the voice of God in my life, I'm typing them all out. Oh, do you know what that's done for me? Number one, it's given me great hope and great encouragement in my life. And number two, it's given me boldness to face the coming days. Because if God did that in my life, if God gave me these victories, if God gave us those answers to prayer, if God be for us, who can be against us? Because you know why? The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now I want to ask you to kind of bow with me here. Because you know what? There's a battle that goes on every time people get together to worship. Praise team, when you get up here to praise and lead us in worship, there's a battle going on. When the word of God is preached, I'll tell you, there's a battle going on, a battle of distraction, a battle of attack. Things come into our minds. I'm going to tell you, there's a battle goes on. But you know, one of the biggest times of battle is when it comes to response. Because someone here is here and you do not have Christ. And God is speaking to you, and he wants you to enter into the rest of the salvation, the work that Jesus did on the cross. But the enemy will battle you. He'll say, no, not today. You can do it next Sunday. You can do it later. I don't want to be embarrassed. He battles. There's other people here. You're in battles. And you need to come and you need to ask God, Lord, I'm sending up an SOS. And he wants you to come and pray. But he'll battle. The enemy will battle against us. The battle goes on. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask, if you need the Lord, you want to accept Christ, I want you to get up and come forward and let Christ win the battle. If you are here and you're a Christian and you're in battle right now, there's a battle you are fighting and you need to send up an SOS, I'm going to ask you, get up right now and come and pray and ask God. Ask God to give you victory. Or maybe you know somebody else that's in a battle and you need to come and war for them at this altar. And I ask you to get out of your seat and come and do battle right now. Do battle right now. The SOS. Even now, we're having problems with my microphone. It's a battle, folks. It's a battle. Don't just sit there. If God's calling you to come and pray, I want you to pray right now. I want the praise team to come. And you can be up here. We're just going to take some time to pray. If you would like to come, this altar is open for prayer. It's open for prayer. You come. Just bring that to the Lord. Stand on his promises. Obey his commands. Speak to the Lord. Here we are, Lord, standing before you, kneeling before you. Lord, we're sending up the SOS. We need you, God. Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. But Lord, with you, we know if God be for us, who can stand against us? Lord, we all fight battles, Lord, and we're thankful that the battle belongs, the victory belongs to you. And we say thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. We say to you, Lord, thank you, God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, help us. Help us to do what you want us to do. Help us to believe you and stand on your promises. Walk by faith and war by faith. Help us, God. And Lord, help us to, Lord, not use prayer as a last resort, but our first recourse, Lord, to call for our Joshua. Call for Jesus. For he must win the battle. He must win the battle. Help us, God. And Lord, may you get all the praise and honor and glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.